I'd like to read in the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 22. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. And we'll read at verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? A second reading of the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus, chapter 12. And again, we read verse number 1. Exodus, chapter 12, and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, it shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, On the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts, and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 12, For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. One final reading in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse number 29. It says, The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, I don't think it's very difficult to see that what we have read of tonight concerns the Lamb. I trust that what we say tonight will be simple, that every individual here will be able to appreciate what God is saying, and of course the wonderful truth of John 1:29, where John gave a one-sentence directive, a one-sentence sermon that is the very source of the gospel tonight. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What we have read tonight, in my understanding, concerns three moments. And I'd like to use these three moments to illustrate the tremendous truth of the gospel and the need of this meeting. For in Genesis chapter 22, we have read a very interesting and a very thrilling story. It's been called the drama on the mount. And as we go up the mountain with a father and son, there comes a moment of realization for Isaac. My father, here's the wood. Here's the fire. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And in that simple statement, we understand in that moment, it was a moment of realization for that young son. He began to understand that something was required, but it was missing. We come to Exodus chapter 12, and of course these are the final instructions concerning the exodus of a nation. They are about to be set free. They are about to be liberated from their bondage. And tonight, that is your tremendous need. The Lord Jesus could say, whoever commits sin is the slave of sin. And tonight, sin has captivated and captured all of us. We are slaves to sin and to the taskmaster. But Exodus chapter 12 brings before us in picture form the tremendous deliverance and redemption by the blood of the Lamb. And there came a moment of responsibility. Let every man take to himself a lamb. And I trust tonight that your responsibility as far as the gospel is concerned, as far as God is concerned, might become personal. A lamb for a house, a lamb for a nation, a lamb for an individual. Let every man take to himself a lamb. We have read in John chapter 1 verse 29 a wonderful moment of revelation. Of all the moments that the Old Testament prophets looked forward to, this was it. The greatest of the Old Testament prophets had the tremendous privilege and blessing of pointing out to the gaze of that entire crowd and of that entire nation the full provision of God. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You know something? The gospel is still the same. Same message that what John preached that moment is still the same message we preach in 1999, because the very focus of the gospel and the very one that is able to meet your needs is the one who is known as the Lamb of God, who has gone to Calvary and who there paid for our sins in his own blood upon that tree. And if we only had one sentence to give you tonight, we'd be able to tell you in the terms of John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I find it very interesting when we come to Genesis chapter 22, that of course God is dealing with this man called Abraham, a man of faith. This is going to be the ultimate test of a life of pilgrimage, a life of believing God. His life is noteworthy. Here's a man who wasn't trying to work for salvation. Here's a man who simply believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. That man's life was transformed. He now was in contact with heaven, with the relationship with the God of salvation. And when we come to Genesis chapter 22, we come to one of the ultimate of all tests, as God tests this man's faith and of the devotion of his heart. But what has caught my attention tonight concerns not God's dealings with Abraham, but what has caught my attention tonight is this son, Isaac. Whether he fully understood the mission that they were on is not sure. God spoke to the father. But we do know that there was a moment when the father aroused the son and says, it's time to get up, it's time to go. Perhaps that young son helped his father get the wood for the offering. He understood there was going to be an offering. Possibly he went to where the fire was burning and they got that censer to maintain the fire on their journey. They were accompanied by several others and they had everything ready and on they went. Interesting that Genesis chapter 22 tells us of nothing that Isaac said until the moment that we have read of. Perhaps, and maybe it's just my imagination tonight, perhaps this was an adventure trip. Perhaps they were covering ground that Isaac had never seen. Perhaps there were things to be seen along the road, along the journey that aroused his imagination and caught his attention and his interest. But a moment came when the father stopped. The mount that God had told him of as to where that sacrifice was to be accomplished was observed. And as that father stopped that little animal and turned to his servants and he says, "You stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and worship." And with that, he took that bundle of kindling and placed it upon Isaac. And he took the fire and they took the knife and two of them began to go up the mountain to the place of sacrifice. And all of a sudden, Isaac begins to comprehend that they are nearing the place for which they have come. "My father, here is the wood. There's the fire. You've got the knife. But where is the lamb?" Suddenly it dawned upon him. We're going to sacrifice. We're going to approach to God. But we're missing something. Something is not right. Something is missing. And suddenly there was a moment of realization that dawned upon this man's understanding. We don't have a lamb. Could I bring that picture to 1999 to this audience tonight? For all of us are on the journey of life. And all of us are coming to a moment when we are going to have dealings with God. We are accountable to God. We must approach God one way or the other, either in time or we will approach Him and stand before Him in eternity. No exceptions. And Isaac suddenly understood, we don't have a lamb. Do you know that is the question that concerns our greatest need tonight? Because the way you are naturally apart from Christ, you're unacceptable to God. You're in your sins. The way you are tonight, in your independence of God, you have no standing with Him. How tragic to be on the outside, to have no way of approaching God apart from the Lamb. And Isaac's understanding and realization, I trust, will become personal to you
Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?
I wonder if you have ever understood your need before God, and whether you have ever understood your need concerning eternity. Some of you likely recall, and maybe this has been mentioned before, but I recall reading, I think it was in one of the Sunday school papers that had been published over the last number of years, of a young man by the name of Adam Sinclair, who grew up in the States and for a number of years was planning the expedition of his life. He decided that he wanted to go to the outback area of Alaska on an adventure trip all by himself. And he planned for, I think, 2 years. He saved his pennies, and he saved his dollars until he had everything in readiness. He had enough money to meet all of his supplies. He chartered a helicopter to take him 225 miles northeast of Fairbanks, Alaska. Got into that chopper, put all of his provisions in there. I can recall writing down he had a camera and 500 rolls of film, an axe, 3 guns, several diary books, matches, sleeping bags, food supplies, a tent. All in all, 1,400 pounds of supplies. Put all of those supplies into that chopper. Jumped in, strapped his seatbelt on, and headed off for the adventure of his life. He was going to be there for 2 months. And as that chopper pitched and threw out his supplies, Adam stepped in, looked around. Virgin territory, never been there before. The wilds of Alaska. Waved to the chopper pilot, watched it disappear. Set up camp and began to explore. Every day he took pictures. Every day he wrote in his diary of what he was seeing, what he was experiencing, where he went. Until finally it was the middle of the second month, 2 weeks to go, when he wrote in his diary and he said, "I just realized today I never made plans to get out of here." He'd bought a one-way ticket and had not told that chopper when and where to come. And all of a sudden, a moment of realization dawned upon that young man's understanding. I prepared for this adventure. I haven't prepared to get out of it. He began to ration his food. And of course, summers in Alaska are pretty short, aren't they? And by November, he was down to his last bit of food. He was bitterly cold. And the middle month of November, middle part of that month, he wrote, he made his final entry into his diary. And he says, "What a fool I was to not make plans for the return trip. Never made it home alive." And tonight, there are those in this meeting, and you have made all kinds of plans for the adventure of life. Some of you have gone to the four corners of this world. Some of you could write books of adventures. Some of you have surrounded your life with every provision for this life. Everything that money can buy. And you have failed to prepare for the endless eternity. You have no lamb tonight to meet God with. No Savior. Just you, your sins, and your eternity. What a moment to come to the realization. I'm not prepared. How important to come to that moment in time and in life. Tonight we thank God that you're in a gospel meeting. We thank God that this is still a day of grace. We thank God that the gospel is still the power of God into salvation. There is still time to prepare and to turn to the Lamb of God. But how tragic to live your life and to come to the end of the road and to face the endless ages of eternity and have no hope, no Savior, and no Lamb with which to meet God. I trust tonight that this will be a night of realization. When you face the greatest need that you face, when you acknowledge the greatest need that you have, and that this night will be a night of salvation for you. I recall speaking with a friend of my wife's, very, very God-fearing woman. Woman who had tried to do the best she could, and who had, in the latter stages of her life, turned to Barbara and she said, "You know, Barbara, I'm afraid that maybe I have missed the whole reason for my existence." She had no peace. She had not settled her eternal future. Where is the Lamb? A moment of realization. Exodus chapter 12 tells us that there is a moment of responsibility. In fact, the message that we preach tonight is a message of what God has provided and what He expects of us concerning that great provision. Here was a nation to be brought out of bondage, and God in His wonderful mercy and grace provided a wonderful sacrifice. There was to be a lamb taken, a lamb without blemish and without spot. God gave directives that that blood was to be caught and placed in that basin and then applied to the door, top and sides. And God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you." And as those people heard that message, it was to be met with obedience and with acceptance. Tonight, as we preach the gospel, it is a message of responsibility. It is a message that is to be obeyed. The Bible says, "What shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" To understand your need, to understand your God's provision, and yet to fail to accept what God has provided, and to fail to act upon it by faith, will result in the greatest of all tragedies. Tonight is a moment of responsibility. I'd like to come to John chapter 1, verse 29, because this verse stands as a moment of revelation. "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Tonight, as I think of that wonderful verse, I'm made aware that we see the Lamb of God in His wonderful character. He came to this world as the Lamb. He didn't come as a righteous judge, though He could have. He didn't come as a great teacher, though He was. He didn't come as a sterling example, though He was that. He came as the Lamb of God. Lambs, of course, were always seen for sacrifice. They were used to be placed upon the altar as a substitute. They were there to lay down their lives for the sake of somebody else. And when we think of this wonderful truth, "Behold, the Lamb of God," we find that He is there in the character of a lamb. It's the Lamb of God. This is heaven's provision. This is not something that man has put together. This is what God has provided. And this wonderful verse tells us that heaven has sent a great remedy, a great provision. The Lamb of God has been sent, but notice his work, which taketh away the sin of the world. And there's not an individual upon this planet tonight that could not receive the forgiveness of sins because the Lamb of God has done this great work. John could point that crowd and he could say, there he is, ladies and gentlemen, behold, the Lamb of God. And tonight, in the closing part of this meeting, I would just like to remind you that as they looked at that man, they saw him in his meek humility. Who's the one walking down the shores of the Jordan River? He's the mighty Creator. He's the very one that said, let there be light. And there was light. He's the very one that made all things. Yet he's there as the Lamb of God in his meekness, in his lowliness, in his kindness and his grace. And he came to where we were. But there's another moment when John said, behold, the Lamb of God. Perhaps he was looking to that moment, thinking of Isaiah's words. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And the one that we present to you tonight is to be viewed in all of his silent submission and suffering. Silent before his betrayers. Silent before his accusers. Silent before his judges. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. There are experiences that we have in life that somehow make an impression on our mind and our memories. And this past summer, we were able to have a week of children's meetings in a small town in Iowa called Postville. Postville, Iowa. During that week, there was a school teacher that I was having the meetings with that asked me if I would like to go and see the slaughterhouse that is Jewish owned and Jewish run. And I said, yes, I would like to see it. He made arrangements. And it just so happened that the owner's grandson was to be our tour guide. He took us to places that I'm sure were not on the regular tour. And I can recall going into the very area where those large steers were being slaughtered. And he held everything up as we went on the other side of that area. And the cattle run or the cattle chute was there, and we were only about 3 or 4 feet away from those steers. The large area, the confined area, in which those animals were finally penned and then turned over upside down, was right ahead of us, 3 feet away. And we watched, and being a kosher slaughterhouse, there were no stun guns. There was nothing to dull the pain. There was just the rabbis with their long scalpels and running water and the animal and blood. As I stood there and I watched the animals coming down this run, being pushed and cajoled and prodded with electric prods, I thought to myself as I watched them and then I watched the steer in that confined cage, these animals do not know what's coming. But when I thought of Calvary, I understood that he knew everything. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He went willingly to the cross. He willingly shed his blood. He willingly laid down his life. And tonight, friend, there is salvation. There is redemption, for the blood has been shed. The work has been accomplished. He poured out his soul in death, and he laid down his life for the guilty. Tonight, John's message is a simple one. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin